Jeez, it's already been a month since the last episode of the Weekly Splat. So much has happened since I fell off my not-quite-so-weekly schedule, including Ink to the Rhythm, the PAX East Finals, and the formal announcement of the 2019 Splatoon 2 World Championship. Where do I even start? Alright, well, it's time to catch up to speed. Strap in, everyone, because we're about to cover about a month's worth of results and storylines in this week's episode of the Weekly Splat. Hello there, Inklings, Octolings, and whatever other sea creatures you may identify as. My name is K-Bot, and welcome to this week's episode of the Weekly Splat, where I'm supposed to discuss the news and happenings of competitive Splatoon in the past week, but this time around, we'll be summarizing the month and look ahead to what's coming around the corner. Without any further ado, let's get right into it. To start things off here, I'm going to give the Cliff Notes version of what's happened in the past month. For starters, back all the way on March 16th, Ink to the Rhythm was held, which was a European-exclusive invitational tournament put on by Players Unity and sponsored by Sennheiser. In it, Ghost Gaming took first place, Kraken Paradise took second, and the Backsquids took third. The day after, the March 2019 edition of the Squidboard Splat Series was held, where Ghost again took gold over Nuance and Global Breakout. The next weekend of March 23rd and 24th consisted of Beacon 2019, held on Long Island in New York, where Ghost invaded and won over Deep Blues and a Demise pickup team. On March 30th, of course, was the North American Inkling Open Finals event held at PAX East. In the semifinal rounds, Loki took out Team What 3-0, and FT Win took out Demise 3-0. For the championship match, FT Win beat Loki 4-3 in a back-and-forth 7-game set that you should definitely go back and watch if you missed it live. And last weekend, the Season 0 playoffs were held for the Splatoon Amateur Circuit, where in a circuit of 142 unique lower-level teams, Tsunami beat Palm Trees in finals to become the inaugural SAC champions. Phew, alright, now that you and I both are caught up to speed on what's happened in the past month, it's time to dive a little bit deeper into some of these events. In order to do so, I sat down with Sendao from Ghost Gaming, as well as Shaq and Toon from FT Win, to comment on each team's recent successes. First up is Sendao himself, who will allow us to peer a little more into why Ghost has been so successful lately, of course, as well as maybe identify a few places where they're looking to clean things up a little more. All right, Sendao, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, of course, thanks for having me.
Of course. So it's been a pretty busy last couple of weeks for Ghost and Company. Focusing on more recent events, many of you participated in the European Championship about a month ago. So would you mind tell us a little bit about your experience in Paris with that event?
Yeah, of course. So for me, I was playing with the Finnish team. That was with Blontro, Caldemar, as well as Nike. And then as well, we had our teammates, my teammates Brian, Sorin, and there's a plane there. So as you expect from Nintendo's events, normally everything for players works pretty well. There was some problems with the tournament itself this time around, with the audio setup and whatnot. That game had some issues in the couple of the days, but I don't know. I think overall, I was pretty happy with the tournament, still how we did despite those issues. We had Team Marco in our group, which we know beforehand was going to be a tough opponent. And yeah, we beat them and we got to the second day. But then, of course, Allianz Rogue was a bit too tough opponent to beat. But yeah, in the end, they won. So I'm still happy about that since, you know, it's my teammates winning. So I'm still happy about that.
Okay, cool. So after the European Championship, you went back to teammates with some of the members of Alliance Rogue, as you mentioned, to participate in Ink to the Rhythm with Ghost. And you guys took down Kraken Paradise there. What did it take to win that event?
Well, yeah, we did technically beat Kraken Paradise, but if you remember, they were playing at Watson, so right. Sub. So with Kraken Paradise being a team that really benefits from having those same four players, so they know exactly what they're doing, and just going for them going from Blontro to Watson, that's right away like a lot less slaying power. So we know that Watson and Blontro are both slaughter players, but Watson is not maybe as slaying with the slaughter as Plunder is, so I think they kind of feel a different role. And of course, it's hard to for them to get a like perfect sub for an event like this, since you know the teams are going to be playing it anyway. It's European only, so that's kind of hard for them. But yeah, I was still happy how we did. Like even like that team was still like I think super tough, and I think we played well for the event. We had some had to go through losers due to losing to back squids earlier, but we got the revenge and the as well as the bracket reason in the grand finals, so that's always nice.
All right, and then you know most recently you all flew to the US to participate in Beacon over here. So what was that experience like for you guys as a team?
Yeah, so I've been trying to be vocal about how good the event was. I really think that even last summer, Long Island Summer Splat, where we also participated, it was already a really good event. But I think that team has already improved a lot since then even. So it's really a good experience to participate as a player. So I do recommend that if you are able to go to Beacon or Long Island Summer Splat or whatever being held in the New York, then I do recommend it. Like, it's a really good event. As for the tournament itself, beforehand we didn't really expect it to be the hardest tournament. It's based on the teams participating, and that kind of was true. So of course you can't really be like downplaying deep loser or whatever, and as well as like some good pickups there and there. But still, I was pretty confident about the event, and I don't know. I think we played to our level, so I was happy about that. And yeah, it's a good experience always too. Go to the States and meet all the people from the community and play in tournament.
Mm-hmm. So moving along to more kind of gameplay oriented stuff, did you happen to catch any of the North American Inkling Open last week?
Yeah, I did. I did watch the.
Sorry?
Yeah, I did watch it.
Okay. So obviously, you know, we saw Feed to Win take the championship and advance to the World Championship. So what are your thoughts on FT Win, and who do you think would come out on top if you had to say right now between Alliance Rogue and FT Win?
That's a hard question. Well, it was a fun event to watch. I did expect FT Win to win, but I didn't expect it to be that close between Loki and FT Win. I was surprised about Huat not even taking one map off Loki. But
I think a lot of people were surprised on that one, yeah.
Like, thinking back on it, it's not that surprising when you consider, okay, the players, like, many of them are kind of, like, semi-retired or whatever. So it's kind of, like, not that surprising thinking back on it. But, yeah, I was still expecting, like, I was, before the tournament, I was expecting them to take second at least. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, after win, still played pretty well. As far as I know, it's they still don't have that much LAN experience between them. I believe that was the first LAN for Ice. For Toon, I'm not sure. At least he hasn't played it too many lands.
Yeah.
Then yeah, and so on. Gyu and Shaq then have a couple lands between them. But yeah, I think in the end they played well. Yeah, Loki also played well. I'm pretty happy to see how well they did, as it was just one team destroying everyone.
Right.
So it was, I think, a good event to watch all around. And between Alliance Rogue and FT Win, I think it's kinda hard to say yet. So there's like both teams have something going for them. So we have FT Win, they have a dedicated backline, Ice. That said, I'm not sure how confident Ice is. Like, sometimes I just expect him to play backline, but he's not playing backline for whatever reason. I'm not really sure if he's not, like, confident with it, since you at LAN, you're playing at different setups and whatnot, and then you can easily have problems with your player or whatever. But I saw he was playing, for example, Motherforge DC. He was playing Slosser or whatever, which they almost lost against Loki and stuff like this. So I was surprised that he's not playing backline, since I think that's going to be their biggest advantage over Rogue. So we have my teammate Sorin, most likely, if it's the same as EC, is going to be playing backline in the World Championship. And you know, he's a pretty flexible player. He can play multiple roles, but you know, there's a difference between someone who played backline for 3 years and someone who plays it just for one event, for like practice for 1 month. It's really a big difference.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing. Then again, for Rogue, they are very experienced players. They have a lot of LAN experience.
Especially,
they know how to play under stress.
Especially experience on the big stage, yeah.
Yeah, big stage and whatnot. Like, they they really have that going for them. So maybe I'm a bit biased from a teammate, but I do expect Alien Throne to win after win. But I don't expect it to be a sweep or anything like that. It's going to be a really exciting match to watch if they meet in the bracket.
Yeah. So looking ahead here and shifting gears back on Ghost, what's next on the docket for you guys? You guys looking forward to the Ink TV Open coming up here in a couple weeks to go up for revenge against FT Win from the Invitational loss? Or like, what's kind of your guys' game plan going forward?
Yeah, so Ink TV Open is definitely the one we're practicing now for. And I think the biggest goal for us right now is to do well specifically against Kraken Paradise and FT Win, since those are the two teams we are not yet consistently been beating in tournaments. So yeah, every chance we get, we want to really show that, you know, we have what it takes and it's a new batch or again and whatnot. So maybe some things are going to be different, and we're going to practice hard and hopefully do some good stuff in the tournament itself. And that's like the only event right now we have in Horizon. Like, we aren't really confirmed any other events at the moment, but, you know, always trying to practice hard. Personally, I like screaming a lot, so even if there's not any events, like, you know, in the close horizon or whatever, I still like screaming and, you know, improving. Like, I think that's how this game is motivating, when you are actually screaming a lot and you're improving, and yeah, it's just fun for me.
So, kind of out of curiosity, as you prepare for those events, what do you think is your guys' biggest weakness at the moment?
Biggest weakness? Well, I think, I don't know, it's kind of hard to say again, because it's still a new patch, we're still kind of figuring out stuff.
Yeah.
I'd say, overall for the modes, I'd say Splat Zones is still the one we're trying to focus the most. Like, we are improving in it for sure, but I think for a long time it's been kind of like a weak side for us, and that's specifically like Splat Zones is something we try to focus, since in many tournaments it's a bit more common than the other modes as well, so we have to be on point on that one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would say Splat Zones.
Do you think it's like something mentality wise in game that you guys are doing that kind of prevents you from doing well on Splat Zones, or like, why might that be the case?
I think it's mostly that, just looking at the weapons. For me, many of my key weapons are, for example, the Umbrella, which is good, really good on Clan Blitz. So that's a really strong mode for us.
Right.
Then I'm also one of the first players playing against Undercover, Umbrella and West, and that's going to be really good on many TS and Ray Mega maps. So for me, I have to think about how I play Splat Zone specifically. I have to play it a bit differently. I have to think about if I have to play some different weapons and whatnot. And other than that, I don't know. I think we are pretty good at objective related modes. Like, I think we are really like fast at making good pushes and like trying to coordinate it well. Like, we rarely make mistakes on those, but in Splat Zone sometimes maybe we're a bit of out of sync, since it's a very different mode in a sense. So yeah, it's hard to say, of course.
Yeah,
maybe some ideas.
Gotcha. Cool. All right, well, thank you again for joining me today, and thanks for your insight.
Yeah, of course.
Best of luck in the future.
Thank you.
Next up, I had the pleasure to talk to both Shaq and Toon from FT Win after winning the 2019 North American Inkling Open. Have a listen to what they thought about the finals event at PAX and what they're looking forward to most in weeks to come. Shaq and Toon, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Copied me.
Yeah, so...
bro.
Congrats on the win at PAX East and for becoming the North American representatives at the Splatoon 2 World Championship this year. What does it mean to the team?
I guess I'll start. I think it's like pretty big, because you know, we formed like last year in June, and we played in Storm Cup, but after that we kind of died out, and then we finally came back in maybe like the winter months 2018, like November, December, and we were on a big slump. Like, we weren't really performing as well, so being able to get this one is pretty big for us.
I think it means a lot to all of us, especially to Keo, because that dude has been grinding for a while now, and he's been working with like top players such as Hexen and Fuzzy for a long, long time. So I think out of all the people on this team, he's definitely the most, definitely the one that's most proud for everyone.
Gotcha. So, I know this was probably your guys' team's, like, first real test in the LAN setting spotlight. So how do you guys think you handled it? And, like, what did that experience teach you? What was that experience like?
I think it was good overall. Like, I think the biggest thing that we were worried about were nerves. Like, we were confident, like, in our own gameplay, but it was like, oh, like, if we get nervous or something, we're not going to play up to par, but I don't think we were really affected by nerves at all, so I think we did really well.
Yeah, I think the one thing that kind of made everyone a little bit uncomfortable was, you know, having so many cameras all over you. The stage didn't really bother us too much because we kind of just forgot about it as we kept playing on. But, you know, having to, like, stare at a camera during between breaks was a little bit awkward, especially, I guess, for Ice, since he's not really used to, you know, having his face shown.
Yeah.
But I think we all handled it pretty well.
All right. So on the day of, it seemed like Loki really showed up to play, and I don't think anyone was really expecting them to do as well as they did. What made them such a formidable opponent, and what did you guys do in order to beat them?
I think like Brella is way stronger on land. Like that's like the obvious thing everyone's gonna say. Brella's really strong on land. I think Hammer was also pretty big too. We actually, like, 2 weeks before the event, we were like, okay, we have to play a main of Quick Super Jump versus Hammer. We didn't do that during the actual thing, but I was looking back and, like, our plan was like, yeah, we can't escape from the Hammer, like, if we don't have, like, at least a main of Quick Super Jump or something, because, like, he'll just catch you. And I think that's, like, the Hammer plus the one's Umbrella, I think made it, like, way harder.
Yeah, for me, I think it was the Bamboo, because honestly, no one plays that thing besides Tetsu. So we weren't really expecting how to fight Bamboo on land. Bamboo and Brella is such a strong, like, comp together on land too, since Brella can actually do its job. And being Tetsu, who's a one-trick Bamboo, we didn't really work around his Bamboo too well. So it took us some time to adjust to it, but I kind of realized that we could just play armor, and that's what I switched to at the end.
So it seems like you guys kind of knew that these things were going to happen heading in, but you didn't fully realize that, like, how much stronger said weapons are going to be on land just because there isn't that input delay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were more so worried about what, but, I mean, that 3-0 kind of threw us off, and now we realize why they struggled against Loki.
I mean, I think everyone probably
yeah.
didn't expect yeah, like, that first 3-0.
We like literally only practiced for Demise and
what's it and called? What?
Yeah,
like, gotcha. Loki wasn't. So, like, that's the other thing about
yeah
the surprise factor. You know, yeah. If you didn't expect them to play, you're not going to practice for them, and
yeah,
and then they
yeah.
win. So looking ahead here. What are you guys going to be doing in order to practice for the World Championship coming up here in a couple of months? What are you looking, or, like, are there any events that you're going to enter, or is it going to be a lot of scrims? Like, what's the kind of practice schedule going to look like for you guys?
I think we're gonna keep competing, like, the big events. Like, I think we're going to be playing the Ink TV Open next week, and then I think one of the things that I'm going to focus on is, like, JP scrims a lot, because, like, they play, like, it's just, like, the level of gameplay is, like, ramped up, like, a notch. So I think it's, like, really helpful.
Yeah, I think we're just going to focus on Japanese scrims and mostly splat zones, because that's definitely our weakest mode out of all the modes that we play at the LAN. I've definitely noticed that we struggle on, because we just got completely destroyed on those two modes. Yeah. And we could probably also play teams that are similar to the upcoming opponents on the LAN, you know, that we can get familiar with their comp. But yeah, that's our plans for now.
Gotcha. So kind of going off of that, You mentioned that like Splat Zones was your weakest mode. What do you guys think is your biggest weakness in game in general?
I don't know. I'm not too sure. Like, I feel like, I don't know, we perform really bad in zones because I feel like with other modes, you can kind of go like, you can kind of like rush and go for trades and stuff more. And like we kind of build off of momentum, but like zones, you have to be really coordinated. And I feel like we choke a lot. I don't know. I can't pinpoint like what our weakest like.
For things. Me, I think it's because we don't really like the play style that Splat Zones has evolved into now. Before it was about QR, but the meta has like evolved into a much more slower pace in Splat Zones that it doesn't really benefit our play style at all.
Gotcha. So. You also mentioned that you'll probably be entering the InkTV Open here coming up, actually a week from today, when this is recorded. So what's your guys' primary goal for that tournament? Is it going to be, like, are you shooting to win it? Are you shooting to take down Ghost and Kraken Paradise again? What's your guys' kind of mindset entering that tournament?
I think obviously, like, going to win is like the main goal, but I feel like if we're just able to like get good practice, like it's fine too. Like yeah, I don't know, like as long as we're like performing well against them, I'm fine with that because we're inconsistent a lot, so like just trying to work on that consistency would be a big deal for me.
Yeah, same as Shaq's answer. I think just winning it would be able to prove our consistency, because as a team, we've been very inconsistent from past tournaments. So compared to Ghost and KP, we haven't really been up to their level, but we're getting there on the way.
All right, cool. Well, thank you guys both for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
And
Shaq is bad.
Shaq is bad, and best of luck in the future.
Thank you.
Now, let's look ahead to what we have coming in the near future in the world of competitive Splatoon. The InkTV Hoban is being held on April 13th and 14th. If you happen to be catching this episode, like, pretty much right when it goes live, then be sure to tune in to twitch.tv/InkTVSplat at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time both days for some exciting action. The event will be the first time in 2 months that we've seen Kraken Paradise, Ghost Gaming, and FT win all in the same event. Who will come out on top this time? Looking ahead into late May and early June, we've got Smash and Splash 5. Splatoon will be returning for its third consecutive year at SNS, and it's set to be a lot of fun. It all goes down from May 31st to June 2nd in the Wisconsin Dells. For more information, be sure to check out smash.gg/SNS5. But of course, the largest Splatoon event of the year is the just formally announced 2019 Splatoon 2 World Championship. Each of the teams that will be competing have already been decided, and they are, from North America, the aforementioned FT Win. From Japan, looking to retain their championship title, the GG Boys. From Europe, the European champions Alliance Rogue. And from the Australia and New Zealand region, Lime Soda, who forced a reverse sweep in a 9-game set over Morning Sun to take the title. The 2019 Splatoon 2 World Championship will take place on June 8th in Los Angeles. More details on that event are yet to come. That concludes this week's episode of the Weekly Splat. That also concludes the bulk of the quote-unquote Season 2 of the Weekly Splat. As you might have guessed at this point, I've got a pretty busy life myself, and that busy life has gotten the best of me in some of recent weeks, and will continue to do so as I look more into the future. So, basically, I wouldn't expect episodes on a regular basis. That said, Season 2 of the Weekly Splat isn't formally over. I'll do much of the same what I did last time, where I won't be posting regular podcast episodes, but when large events happen, you can be sure that I'll have something covered right here on this podcast on all platforms. If you're interested to learn more on what I focused on today, be sure to check out some of the links in the description below of this podcast episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, and follow me on Twitter for consistent updates at kbot_273. As I mentioned, my Twitter is probably going to be the best place in order to get updates on when new episodes might be coming out, or just general Splatoon content for your pleasure. The Weekly Splat works in tandem with Ecofeed, as both products aim to keep you, Splatoon players, informed about the competitive community. If you're not already following Ecofeed on Twitter, I suggest you do to stay up to date on the most recent competitive Splatoon news. Thanks again for listening, cephalopods, and happy splatting.